Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I am your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, I've missed you.
Yes, yes, you've been out. I thought Letitia was taking over the show.
Yeah, that's what she told me. Is she? How did she do?
She says this Don't is say my better. Show. No, she brings in a different perspective. But you know what? I miss like today's conversations, the mouth-watering, savory, luxury lifestyle stuff that only Bart Zandbergen knows about here.
Well, what a great lead-in! I'm so pleased and honored to have Chef Craig Strong with us today. Chef, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. Most of my listeners know that part of my brand is food and wine, so you're going to fit right in here. I certainly want to get a lot more into your current adventure, which is Ocean at Maine, but I think it would be great for people to hear kind of what got you where you are today.
Well, I'll tell you, I started off loving restaurants from, you know, growing up in a family that my mom was a really good home cook, and okay. We had a garden in our backyard. My dad was a president of a drip irrigation company, and, you know, my brothers had to do weekend chores like mow the lawn, and mine was pull weeds in the garden. And as I saw these tomatoes and zucchinis growing, I thought, what's the next step but follow mom? And when, you know, I turned 16, it was time for me to, you know, get a job and make a little extra money. So I went to a restaurant and, you know, started as most people do in the dish area, scrubbing pots, and then saw that the cooks were having more fun than me. And I said, well, I kind of like cooking, so let me get over there and learn a few recipes. And it just led to a love affair for, you know, restaurants and the restaurant life and the teamwork, and you eat pretty well. So it went from there. And then I went to culinary school in Washington, D.C., at a little French school called L'Académie de Cuisine. And then I spent about 25 years in the hotels, 15 with the Ritz-Carlton all over the world, mostly on the East Coast and Europe. And then came back here to California back in 2000. And then the Montage down in Laguna Beach picked me up.
Yeah.
And what a great job that was. I mean, just, you know, working at Studio Restaurant is one of the best places in the world.
Yeah,
five-star restaurant. And I spent almost 9 years, almost 10 years as the executive chef of restaurant.
Yeah.
Until I opened my own place last year, almost 1 year.
It's almost a year, right?
Yep,
October 5?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Where in that process did you decide, hey, I need my own deal?
You know, it's kind of been in the back of my mind for years. And things have come up, and I've looked at some restaurants, but I thought, you know, I have a really good gig. You know, working at some of these hotels, the infrastructure is very well set up. There's tremendous training programs and things like that. And, you know, there's pros and cons to both, of course, right?
Sure.
Owning your own business is, as you've had many guests on, have explained the woes. But there's also tremendous freedoms and challenges that I think if I didn't do this, I would have some unsettled wants and desires that you can only satisfy by being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this building in Laguna Beach that has, you know, a beautiful patio with a water feature in it. It was the first bank of Laguna Beach, so there's history dating back
to that. Is that how it started?
It was the first bank back from the
1940s. Oh, wow.
And it's been through a couple different businesses, and then most recently. Yep, it turned into a restaurant, and I thought, you know, it's got a great bar area, it has an open kitchen, it has this great patio, and I thought, you know, if things line up correctly, then maybe I should take the leap.
Yeah.
So last year I did.
Wow, wow. Any looking back?
No. No. I have plan A and plan A.
I love that. There is no plan B. To what So now you're a business owner. Is this your first experience as being a business owner?
It is.
Yeah. So what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Well, you know, it's wearing a lot of hats. There's things that you're exposed to when you run a restaurant. You're the executive chef of a hotel. You're exposed to things of, you know, human resources and payroll and engineering for equipment that breaks. But it's much more involved. It's amplified when the buck stops with you.
Yeah.
And there's less resources to draw from. So you have to learn some new skills. And I know more about engineering now than, you know, somebody gave me a gag gift as a little tool belt before I left the montage. And they said, you're going to need this. And boy, I think I've worn out some of the tools already. It's kind of fun.
Now, I've often thought myself, and then with people who I've interviewed, we go to school, we go to training for our trade. Me for an advisor, you as a chef, an attorney, a CPA, doctor, whatever it might be. But then when you put out your own shingle, it's not in most cases where, wow, look at all the business running in the door because I put out a shingle. It's, no, I'm running a business and I have to learn all the different aspects of it, which it sounds like you got kind of a fire drill on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it shows you the importance of many different things on marketing, on, you know, how to manage your staff, the hiring process, which is, you know, you're starting from scratch. So there's a lot to do. And then, you know, the philosophies of what do you want to be known for?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a brand that's already been established. You're creating your own brand. And the values and the things that you want to put out to the world need to be clearly defined. So I think that, you know, those kinds of things are important first steps.
Yeah, yeah. How much of that did you either hire or contract out, and how much of it was just your own experience and experiment?
a little of both. In fact, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know, it'll always continue to refine.
Yeah.
That you take broad strokes at things, and there's things that I believed in over many, many years of, you know, the training that I grew up in and how restaurants were run or managed by chefs back in the 80s, 90s, and how times are changing. The workforce is changing. The things that are tolerated are changing. And if you want to be somebody who's effective as a leader, you need to change with the times. The, you know, generation now that is coming into the workforce have different goals. They have different minds. They grew up with the technology that has just changed their paradigm. And if you want to be able to be effective, you have to change the methods of how you mentor these people to keep them highly motivated.
Yeah, sure. So I was going to ask about technology. I'll do that in a minute. Let's get more into the food stuff. What do you have? No, I've been to your restaurant probably 6 or 7 times since you've been open. And one that I've ever taken has just loved it. And just randomly, a couple friends of mine from the gym went the other day, and they asked me where we should go, and I recommended. And
thank you.
Went on a Sunday evening. You're welcome. And I was happy to report how happy they were. You know, because you always wonder sometimes whether you refer someone to an attorney, to an advisor, or to a restaurant, like, oh my gosh, I hope they think as highly of it as I do. And, you know, you don't, it looks, it's a reflection of you to a certain degree. And they came back. It was just like spot on.
Oh, good.
So with that said, do you have a specialty like yourself that you really like, a style that you like to do? I mean, seafood, I mean, what you prepare on, at least on the menu, is the way I like to eat. It was just like, seems to be really clean. I like the fish, like clean, you know, a vegetable. And then you have some fun stuff like the cigars.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought those up. And that's exactly how I want people to kind of think of what I do. It is clean. There's things that you learn at a classic French cooking school that I went to. And the French base their technique on, you know, time-honored traditions, but there's a fair amount of butter and cream added to it. But I lived in Barcelona for 2 years, and you're a product of your mentors in the places that you've lived or traveled, and 2 years in a country puts a big impact on you. And the food and the way that they eat is very different from the French. In fact, I remember when I first got to Spain, I was like, I'm going to show these Spaniards how to cook some French food. And I went to do this fish dish, and I put a little cream in it, and they're like, get that out of here. This is Spain. This
really?
Is not France.
Really?
let us show you.
Yeah.
And out comes olive oil and garlic. And so now I write menus kind of two-sided,
yeah,
where I use the French technique that understands how to coerce flavor out. They are the masters of making something taste just super delicious by great old French techniques. And then I use Spanish mentality of this Mediterranean kind of diet that's olive oil based. And I mix them together in a California style that has a little bit of humor behind it and fun that I think, you know, people here in California, they want it to be delicious, but they want it to edge on healthy. I mean, especially Southern California, they want it to be a little bit more health centric. And that's what we do.
Except for Paul. Paul goes all in.
Okay. We have a couple indulgent dishes for you, Paul. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's not bean sprouts and avocados only.
Okay. I can come and eat there. All right.
And Paul mentioned earlier when we were joking around about edible art, and I think that that's a great statement because the presentation of what you call your cigars was so awesome, and it tasted so good. It's not something that I'm going to eat on a regular basis. I think it probably falls somewhere in the middle, maybe to the left of the health central.
Yeah.
But boy, was that good, and it came out looking so cool. So, Paul, it was a I don't know if these were custom made, but it was like an ashtray. And there was four of us at dinner, so four cigar-looking rolls, and I assume they were deep fried. I didn't think about that when I was eating them. And then
short
ribs inside, and then a sauce that made it look like ash. That was a horseradish sauce. Right?
Yes,
how cool
exactly.
Was that?
It
cool
was
that?
So cool looking and even better tasting.
Yeah, it tastes delicious, but there's a little sense of humor behind it.
There's your humor. Yeah,
and it's. Look, you want to look beautiful, of course.
Yeah.
And have some kind of creativity in the presentation. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't taste delicious, then you've missed the mark.
Yeah.
So that's really the goal. It's got, ultimately, the weight of it falls on the taste.
Yeah.
And then let's make it look beautiful as well.
Yeah. Do you have wine training as well, or did you hire a somm or a wine expert?
I do have a little bit, but it's pretty basic compared to our sommelier who we do have on the floor, and she's a great woman named Kristen, and she's put together our whole beverage program. The cocktails, we have amazing bartenders who are totally into, you know, all the syrups that they're making and the bitters that they have and the little garnishes that are kind of fun, like, you know, smoking's banned in Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
So hence we have the short rib cigars and, and we have another cocktail called No Smoking in Laguna, and they burn a little piece of sage as it's coming out. And, it's just being silly and having fun, but we're being silly, but we're serious about what we do. You know, the execution of it and the taste has to be perfect, but let's have a little fun at the same time.
Yeah, it's got to be fun. You mentioned something I never really had thought about with regards to restaurants or cooking, but technology. Has that really changed your industry at all?
Well, for sure. There's things that are constantly evolving, like, you know, sous vide cooking where people are vacuum sealing in. And of course, it's been around for, you know, a little while, but it's certainly not part of classic cooking. The way that we have our payroll or accounting is, you know, now the systems are much more robust. Our reservations hit my phone, and there's tons of reporting behind it that you could just geek out on all day long if you're into this and you want to see the analytics of how people are ordering or what they're doing or reservation times or, you know, are they coming early or late? And, you know, it just gives you so much more data to be able to analyze the business on the backside to make good decisions moving forward. It just wasn't available 20 years ago.
That makes sense. So from a as a business owner, from a staffing perspective, from a workflow, I would
Absolutely. The analytics of, you know, your labor costs, your food costs, which are your two biggest driving factors nowadays, the way that things are reported are in real time. I mean, I can literally watch the revenue coming through on my phone.
Yeah.
I can see the hours that people are working on my phone constantly. And it's, you know, it's a little addictive while you're, as an entrepreneur, you think of these things now, it's real. It's more real. And that it's real time, you can be so much more responsive.
Yeah. So back with your business hat on, there are talks, and we know it's a natural economic cycle, but we're going to have a recession sometime in the next few years. No one knows when. People like to think they know when. You ready for it? And how do you get ready for it as a restaurant owner?
People still need to eat. They do. But I think, you know, as any business, price and value will always be very important. And the thing that we wanted to do at Ocean at Main is instill a great sense of value to people in the area. So 25 years of working in luxury brand hotels, I understand how to get the refinement of a very high-end dinner. And the issue with that could be you pigeonhole yourself into a special occasion only type of restaurant, which would maybe be a little bit more prone when people are price sensitive. Mm-hmm. But with Ocean at Main, the whole idea was not to try to create something like that, but as opposed to something that's more family friendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a kids menu for my 6-year-old daughter, but it's a range of things that offer accessibility. It's things that I get to showcase a different side of me. When you work in a 5-star restaurant, you're kind of pigeonholed into one kind of restaurant. But chefs eat all kinds of things. I don't eat just fancy schmancy stuff every day. I eat tacos and pizza and burgers and sandwiches and salads and, you know, a wide range of stuff. And I love those foods. But I've never been able to showcase them before, where now I get to. And the advantage of that is it also gives you a range of price point. So you have people who come in on a Saturday and it's date night and they want to do 3 or 4 courses and kind of order maybe a slightly more expensive bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. But if you come in on a Tuesday, it may just be, I want to go there because I want the convenience of not having to cook at home. And I don't really want to blow my budget. I just want to have a simple, nice Tuesday dinner and get up early like you do and go to the gym at 5 a.m. So those are, it's the same guest, but sometimes they eat a little bit differently. And having that range of accessibility, I think, helps keep you away from some of the woes that you might feel in a recession, because people feel like they can still afford to eat and go somewhere really nice. And if they feel like the quality is of a 5-star chef who's going to be passionate about doing even a chicken sandwich, it's going to be extraordinary because there's passion behind it.
Yeah. Great answer.
That's the idea.
Great answer. Do you have a favorite cooking show, or even better, cooking movie? Or cooking-based movie?
So I will tell you, my favorite movie, there's a couple. Ratatouille comes right off the top of my head. And so my daughter, my wife brings home a dog for my daughter and me, and it's this little Jack Russell, and she's a little wiry-haired dog. She's like, let's call it Truffle or something. Like, that dog looks like a rat. We should name it Remy. It's the rat that everybody falls in love with at the end of Ratatouille.
Yeah.
So
that is awesome.
So our little Jack Russell is named Remy.
Remy. That is awesome.
You know, I love Alton Brown. I love his Good Eats because it talks about the science behind cooking. And the why of cooking, how You know, I always said if I ever do a cooking show, I want to do the Y and spell it just the letter Y, so that people understand why a recipe works or doesn't. Not just here's step by step, but maybe a little bit of the chemistry behind it.
Okay. You know, with that said, do you have, I don't want you to give away this, all the secrets, but is there two or three like basic things if someone's cooking at home, like Paul wants to impress his wife, you would give him a couple of tips to say, hey, Paul, this is how you do it. This is a super simple dish. You're going to floor her.
It would start by me cooking.
Maybe Paul's a bad example. Why don't you have me?
You need to have understanding. I think something that's really important to understand is a sweet-sour balance. That is really important. So if I could give any, like, number one lesson, it would be to understand sweet-sour balance. And that is the backbone of what I would summarize the many, many years of French training, is the French understand how to coerce the flavor out of vegetables by slow, easy cooking, and then counter it with vinegar or wine or something like that. And all recipes have this kind of balance of sweet and sour. It could be chocolate and raspberry, or it could be wine and onions and carrots and celery, those kinds of things. Understanding that as a backbone, you need to have a couple good sauces in your back pocket, and those are the backbone for it.
Yeah,
you need a couple simple chicken dishes. So, you know, how to make one or two of those that are pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then maybe one or two desserts, you know, especially if you're trying to woo the women.
Paul's going to start with dessert.
Can I ask you a question? Because I'm a dessert freak, and I have a long loved going to restaurants. And it seems like there's been a decline in desserts over the last few years. Few restaurants have somebody preparing desserts like they used to. There isn't a dessert, a pastry chef anymore in most restaurants. Is that just because of health? Is it because of budget, or both? But what's behind the demise of dessert?
That's a really good question. I think that it's probably because it's a specialty, and most chefs don't do both. When I have, in many of my restaurants, I was the chef and pastry chef, but currently I have a pastry chef, and I'm so glad that I do, because it is an important part of the overall experience. But I think some people think that that's a cost that maybe they don't want to invest in, and therefore they say, well, we could just buy a simple dessert. You can, and because desserts hold up and they're easy to transport, like a cake or a pie or something like that, that you, the shelf life on it is a little bit better, but you get a lot of mediocrity. So if you're looking for something signature, you have to find the restaurants that have invested in a pastry chef, and Ocean at Main is wanting to be signature in everything that we do. So that's why Kira Wilson is my pastry chef and doing a phenomenal job. And when you have desserts, you say, that's memorable. It's not just, oh, here's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
And it seems like such an easy add-on for the server and everybody else. Again, you're trying to enhance the experience so they walk away going, wow.
Yes.
She wants that one little sweet thing at the end there, specialty. You can then sell coffee, wines, liqueurs, other sorts of things with it. And most restaurants, just an afterthought. And it almost seems like also they're trying to turn it over so quickly. They want to get you out. They don't want you to savor that extra 20 minutes or 15 minutes while you're having dessert. They'd rather turn the table and try and get another course in.
And I think you're right that some people do that as a strategy of trying to turn the tables. But I am a big fan of selling the experience. Yes, you might get the check average up a little bit, but for me, it's better to sell an experience where people walk away and then want to share that experience with some of their friends saying, this was extraordinary. You need to try Ocean at Main. Go to this restaurant. They're hitting it on every level from the beginning to the end, including the dessert.
Love it. I applaud you because I see so few doing that.
Hey, Paul, would it surprise you that Craig and I have a lot of things in common? So we both, so yes or no?
No.
Okay, good. We both live in Laguna. We both have a young daughter. We both are, this is hot off the press news, right? It's not really public yet. Should we share that?
Yeah,
okay.
She's been a guest, but we will be in the October edition of Modern Luxury Magazine under their heading, ready for this, Paul?
Uh-huh.
Men of Style.
Ooh, well, where else would I look for you? I wouldn't look for you in the secondhand part of the thing here or the...
And then even more fun, we're both involved with the Newport Beach Food and Wine Festival that's coming up October. Oh, your anniversary, a restaurant anniversary, the weekend of October 5th.
I'll be there on the 6th.
So share with us what you're doing there exactly.
So one of the dishes that I've just totally fallen in love with at Ocean at Main is this braised beef short rib that's braised with Thai spices. Ooh. So there's green curry and galangal, which is, it's kind of like ginger, but much more floral, lemongrass, lime juice, coconut milk, where you basically make what's called a tom kha soup. And you pour it over these browned short ribs and then cover it and very slowly, slowly cook it in the oven till it's just fallen off the bone, super tender. And then we serve it with this stuff called forbidden rice. So forbidden rice is a rice from China that was only allowed to be eaten by the emperors. It's actually dark indigo purple.
Oh, wow.
It looks almost black.
Yeah.
Very, very healthy, really nutty. And then we do like a Thai vegetable salad with it.
Wow.
So it's got spice and flavor and acid and, you know, some good stuff.
That's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah. We might sneak in a dessert. We may add on a dessert.
For all us dessert, all us forgotten dessert lovers here.
All right. I can see we've blown through our time here. So let me ask you my final thought question, which is what has been your ultimate lesson learned? And is it 25 years as a chef now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the spirit of hospitality is really what you need to embrace. That, you know, what we do is just take care of people. You know, you want to serve people by helping them grow financially. It's what brings you joy. It's your calling. Yeah. Doctors like to heal. You know, police and military like to protect. Chefs and people in the hospitality industry, we like to serve. We like to throw parties. And looking for opportunities to just blow people away through food and beverage is really what brings joy to me.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you do a really good job at it.
Thank you.
Before we close up, how can people reach you, make reservations, learn more about you?
We're on Open Table. You go to Ocean at Main. So we're on Ocean Avenue at Main Beach in Laguna Beach, California. So 222 Ocean Avenue, Laguna Beach, California, 92651, or visit our website, Ocean at Main, and there's a widget you can click on to Open Table, and we'd love to see you.
Awesome. Great address, too.
I'm hoping Bart's going to invite me over for some of those cigars.
All right, just ready to close that. What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, my goodness. Tacos, probably.
Tacos. All right. I love it. I'm the chef.
Southern California. I live on tacos.
All right. I want to thank everyone who has tuned in. We look forward to being in studio next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.